E? That wasn't one of the options.
Okay, all right. So, Paul, I would say this. We, the hosts of this podcast, in order to record a more Philly union, discuss recent union games, examine the latest union news, celebrate and lament the newest player rumors, and increase our US union fanaticism, do record, edit, and distribute this episode of A More Philly Union. We are your hosts. I'm Paul.
I'm C.
I'm E.
And yes, he's awake. He's just been it's been a rough week for him. He's he's been burning the candles at both ends. So as far as housekeeping this week, we are going to keep this episode short and talk about a couple of things that have happened, but there hasn't been a ton of Philly union news, and we'll get into what has happened. And we'll definitely keep going and see what happens. But as far as housekeeping this week, there haven't been any new or downloads from any new areas, no new states or countries or such. And so, we'll keep watching or keep hoping for more downloads. We have had a good number of downloads the last few weeks, which we really appreciate. So please, you know, if you get a chance to help us share the podcast out, please do so. So getting into the recent games, we did talk about the first leg of the Pachuca match last week, which was a 0-0 tie. This Saturday was the Seattle washout. They certainly brought the rain with them, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. There's scenes on the field. I mean, we weren't there, thank God. Although, one of us was.
Yeah.
Eric and I weren't. But those scenes were something to see.
Well, you know, the Seattle Sounders were Nate's West Coast team for a long time. Friends of the family have moved out there and from Philadelphia. And I don't know if it was the green or the blue or whatever that caught Nate's attention when he was younger, but they were his West Coast team. And so when the opportunity to get the tickets was available, we were like, yeah, we'll take those. And we got down there a little late. We actually had to return a jersey that we had bought earlier.
Okay. It's 6-0, isn't it?
It's 6-0.
Yeah, I could tell.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're recording this as the Pachuca game is in the 85th minute.
Yeah.
I apologize for that moment of silence.
Yeah, I thought Paul froze, and then I realized he did freeze, but not technologically.
It's quite possible you're probably enjoying this podcast maybe more than that game.
Yeah.
Unless right. You're a Pachuca fan.
Back to the Seattle game. Yeah. We're less bad news in that Seattle game than in this Pachuca game. So we'll talk about Pachuca in a minute, but Seattle washout. Nate and I got down there. We had to return a union jersey that he had gotten. He wanted to get a size up, so he had some room to grow. And so by the time, like literally, I got to my seat, I sat down, and the referee picked the ball up. And that was the last time it was on the field. It was
a little less than the ref picking the ball up and more of it floated over to him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His hip waiters. Yeah.
We knew something. We knew it was going to be rough because when we parked in the parking lot, normally they're pretty decent, but both Nate and I, you know, where they put us was basically a small lake, about 3 inches deep of water or so. And we were both soaked as soon as we stepped out of the car. It was really coming down fierce. I know just the drive down there was rough. Everybody was being pretty reasonable with the score being, which was good, but it was definitely a wet day. So I was worried if they were going to cancel it all, the whole way down. And then we get there, we sit down, and that was the last time the players, you know, played any on the field. It was actually kind of funny. They were on the sideline debating over what they were doing, whether they were going to call the game, whether they were going to wait it out,
how many boats they would need.
Sorry. What was that?
I'm just throwing out a lot of bad flood jokes.
Oh, how many arcs they would need?
Yeah. How many boats would they need?
Right, right. So, but the players were like, you know, like they do, they were juggling the ball. It would hit the ground and it would just stop.
Oh, God.
At one point they tried to have a pass along the ground and the ball rolled like 3 yards and just stopped. It was like glue. It was terrible. There was standing water on the field. And so the teams, they left the field and they announced a half an hour, 30 minute rain delay. As they were hoping that because the rain was supposed to lighten up,
right?
But they weren't sure exactly how the fields would handle. So while they were away, the squeegee squad came out. They got a big round of applause from those of us that were sitting in the stands watching the game, waiting for the rain delay. And so it was really impressive watching those six or seven groundskeepers trying to do what they could to get some of the water off the sensitive parts of the grounds. But yeah, it was pretty clear, despite the fact that they did the entire field, it was still in rough shape by the time they got through it.
It's like Sisyphus trying to roll the rock up the hill.
Yeah.
Well, it's trying to bail the ship out very much. It was
some heroes push squeegees.
It's not that they were the heroes we needed, I guess, at the time, but it was still not enough.
Yeah,
a hero would float by.
I mean, it was a rough week too. I mean, they played the game, but I believe the RSL game, they had to pull out the orange ball because it was
that much snow.
Yeah, I mean, it was a white field. It looked worse than the infamous USMNT game from years ago in Colorado. But yeah, so it was a biblical weather week. Seems like.
So yeah, 6 minutes into the game, the referee stops it. They all go away. They try to wait it out, but it's clear that the field needed some time to drain. So yeah, they'll make it up at some point. It'll probably have to be some week when when Seattle's out on the East Coast and both Seattle and the Union have a free midweek game time. I'm guessing. There's certainly, I can't imagine any Saturdays that they'd be able to make it up, unfortunately.
Yeah, hell or high water.
No, high water rained us out.
Well, Philly's schedule is opening up a little, it seems. So
yeah, that neatly leads us into the Pachuca game because, as we talked about, we're now in the 90th minute of this Pachuca game, and it is just downright ugly. The Union are currently losing 6-0. Yeah, still 6-0. And they gave up a penalty kick. Wagner, I don't know, some sort of a... Yeah, it was a bad play by Wagner, giving up a penalty kick early in the game. They then gave up two goals that were called back on penalty kicks. And before halftime, Pachuca scored. Oh, thank you, referee. There's mercifully. No stoppage time. It's done.
Yeah,
end it. Yeah.
Yeah. So before halftime, Pachuca did score a second goal. And then Union made a little bit of a lineup change to start the second half, and the wheels just completely fell off the bus here to be 4 goals in the second half for Pachuca. No sympathy goals, no consolation goals, just complete embarrassment for the Union. 6-0.
That's
Pachuca advances to the quarterfinals. Now I got to turn this off. This is
I think it's good for your health.
I almost wonder, did the Pachuca field a different team last week's Champions game up here in Philly and then faced a different team down there? Or was it just...
Wouldn't seem like that would... I mean, who knows, right? But it seems like you'd want to get some away goals if you could, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think they did a
true.
B team.
That's true.
I mean, who knows their injury situation? I honestly have not looked into that, so... but yeah, I don't know. I mean, Paul and I were chatting a little before we started recording about Mexican home field advantage being as I've been trying to say, non-trivial thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they call it the 12th man, but I wonder if it's more like the 12th, the
13th,
14th game. The 14th player.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's no joke. Definitely passionate fans. I mean, lots of countries, but Mexico is one of them for sure.
Yeah, it's not to be understated. It's not to be understated. It's not to be underestimated.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know Pachuca's roster well enough to know whether or not the players that they put out there against the Union in that first round were their top players, and then they rolled out their better players for the second round. But it certainly seemed like a different team. Like they were just cutting through the Union's defense, and that was Glesnes and Lowe at center defense, Wagner out left, and Harriel out right. So, you know, with Blake in net, like that wasn't a slacking group of defenders. And Martinez started at center defense or defensive midfield.
And Carranza is back, so we were at full in theory at full strength. So,
Carranza came in the second half. That was interesting too, because Curtin wanted to get Carranza on, but he didn't want to take Sullivan off, and he didn't want to. And Bedoya started this game. So he took Martinez off, shifted Bedoya to the defensive midfield spot, and put Sullivan out in the right midfield spot of the diamond, and then put Carranza up top, because it had been Sullivan and Ora to start up top. So little something different, little twist, trying something. I mean, eventually he ended up pulling Bedoya and put Bueno on, and he put Anderson on for Ora. But it just, it's not even like the Union looked totally terrible, except for the fact that they just stopped playing defense for whatever reason. They just couldn't generate any real attacks in this game against Pachuca. And really, to an extent, not even in the first leg. We talked a little bit about the Pachuca game, and you know, my opinion, watching the game, that the Union looked just a half beat slow, or a half step slow.
Mm-hmm. The last one or this one?
Last one.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember you saying that. Yeah.
And like I said then, I hope that this means that, you know, in a couple of weeks, once the Union have a few more games under their belt, a little bit more training, that they'll knock that rust off and get back to their consistent, you know, speedier ways.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's tough. You don't ever want to bow out of a tournament where you're seeming to be playing your better players. But I mean, they just got ridden out on the rails, and you know, whatever other sports analog or analogy you want to throw at it, this was just an embarrassing loss.
They were washed out to sea.
They were hard and feathered.
So I guess it was the second Saprissa game when it was kind of tight there for a while. And we were saying, like, you know, what would you have been okay with them going out? So now they've gone out. Are you okay with them going out? Or is it more that they went out in a spectacularly bad fashion? Because I think we all said if they had gone out at that Saprissa game, it would have been sad, but we would have been okay with it to a point.
Right.
So kind of sound more down now. Is it just like the spectacular failure?
It's the spectacular failure in particular that's making me frustrated. It's like, I don't mind them going out. That gives them that means that they'll be able to concentrate on the season performance. Right. So fine.
Yeah.
But just so woefully perform against a team that you held scoreless at home and give up five or six and not get any, you know, it makes me worry about the defense, and it doesn't give me any confidence that they're still able to score.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
That's fair. I mean, we've had ties upon ties upon ties, and then this.
This is a blowout.
And Seattle unknown. But
and I can already foresee, well, hey, you know, the Union's got blown out by Pachuca, who's not a super power in Mexican soccer, although they're a good team in Mexican soccer. They're not one of the main ones, I don't think. And I mean, they just mop the floor with the Union players. So what does that mean for the Union? Are they really still among the class of MLS, or have they fallen? You know, because it's been a frustration for a lot of fans for the Union. There wasn't a whole lot of big signings during the offseason. There were a couple of, hey, this one could be good. Can Marcus Anderson turn into something? Is Ty Baribo ever going to get a chance to take the field? Is Quinn Sullivan ready to take the next step? Will McGlynn continue to grow, or will he suffer a sophomore slump? You know, there's a lot of questions around a lot of the players at the Union either brought in or kept in. And there were no big additions, no confident, this is a starting player, this is a DP quality player. I mean, we still have Carranza for this season. Mm-hmm. We still have Ora, who still hasn't completely found his form, although he does, in his defense, he's doing better this season.
There's some flashes.
But he's uneven. That's the thing. Yeah, like you said, like he goes in and out.
Yeah, and then Gajdag. Gajdag's a pretty good metronome, but he's not lighting the world up like he did 2 years ago when he was in contention for the MVP of the league.
Yeah.
You know, so will they step up? Will they step up enough? It's a lot of questions. You know, we got it. I trust that Ernst Tanner has done his homework and that he's putting enough. He's diversifying his bets enough that if some of them hit, it'll get the Union to where they need to go. They just haven't hit yet.
Yeah.
We're early.
I was going to say, we are so early days. I mean, that doesn't give us a blank check or whatever metaphor fits in this thing. But still, you'd like your team to come out swinging from the beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Showing more life, even.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chutzpah, if you will.
Hey, there you go.
Grit.
Heart.
Okay, my turn. Determination.
No, heart.
Oh, well, yeah, that's the heart.
Replacements.
Yeah.
I know it's Eric's movie. I don't know if it's one of yours, Paul, but.
Yes, yeah. I knew it. That's why I was hitting my chest. That's what Gene Hackman did with the roll. What do you mean? We need heart.
Yeah, it's going to take to get back in this game. I mean, it's not a totally unrelated assessment. I mean, well, I've only been getting the updates of the game from you, Paul, but.
As I hang my head in hands. I was also just thinking along the lines of like Rocky. It's like, you know, how from Rocky Balboa, you know, you got to keep moving forward. You got to take the hits and you got to keep moving forward. So hopefully this is just a series of hits that are coming down on the Union and then they can find a way to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
But it's rough right now. We're in a kind of low point. They haven't given us a whole lot to get fired up about yet at the start of the season.
Yeah. And I hope they take this as fire in their bellies rather than, you know, fear and dispiriting.
Yeah.
You know, I can't think of another a better way to put it. But it would be nice if they don't just retreat into their shells, as it were.
I certainly hope Blake and Bedoya have some choice words for the team, both in the locker after this game and then moving forward in Austin. Something to help fire them up.
Yeah,
exactly.
But they will be able to concentrate. And hey, if Carranza came back and was able to play in this second half of this game, hopefully that means that he's going to be working his way back to full match fitness. And him and Ora, Gajdag, now Anderson's in the rotation up top.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of high pressing top of the formation defensive work there. So it could be real good for the Union. Being able to concentrate on just the season.
Being able to focus and being able to figure out who we are in MLS, not who we are in MLS today and in CCC tomorrow and then back to MLS next week. I mean, I imagine that's quite a pendulum swing, or can be. So I think it'll be nice to maybe, like exactly like you said, just be able to focus and maybe that will help them get back. Let's hope. Like you said, early days though.
It feels like in terms of a season strategy, the Union are now in the category of that, you know, you got one job.
Yeah.
That's it. There's no Champions League anymore, or Champions Cup anymore. There's no Open Cup, which is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
So all you have to focus on now is MLS. You got one job.
There is no tomorrow. That makes you a very dangerous man. Keeping with their replacements there.
There you go.
Yeah.
So it will be interesting to see if they can use that as motivation. So going into the Austin game, which would you prefer to see? The Union's offense get back on track and score a bunch of goals and win like 4-2, or their defense to get back on track and either draw 0-0 or like win 1-0?
Yes.
Well, you can't have both. You got to pick one.
Absolutely not on 0-0, because I just said it can't with 0-0 games, or shall we say 0-0. I don't know. I would love to see a 4-2. That sounds like fun, doesn't it? It just sounds like fun. I mean, I
it does.
Not that I want like to not get a clean sheet, but it just, you know, I would love to see a nice high scoring game like 2 years ago. That'd be kind of fun.
How about you, E?
Well, I don't know if it's because I'm, you know, so tired or whatever, but it's kind of like, I don't know if there's any result on this upcoming game that I'm going to be like unabashedly happy about. I mean, I say that mostly joking, but it's kind of like, really, what would make me happy? Yeah, we win 3-0. We win 4-0. That wouldn't make me happy. If we win we won 3-2, it's like, man, I'm glad we got those goals, but why are we giving up goals? Or if we win 1-0, it's like, all right, it's great. We got, you know, we held it to, you know, scoreless, but it's like, we got to get our scoring machine going better. You know, I want to see a 4-0 like victory, but at the same time, I get that 4-0 victory, I'm automatically going to be thinking like, okay, well, that was just a fluke. That was that one off. It doesn't really mean anything, you know? So I think I'm,
that wasn't one of the options.
Okay. All right. So Paul, I would say this, if it was, I would take a 4-2 win. I want to see our scoring back up and
right
into my head.
Yeah.
Voice in my ear, you know?
I understand what you're saying, because it's kind of like backsliding to the early seasons where it's like, we're up 4-0. Are we going to hold it?
Yeah, right. I remember like we up like 3-0.
Maybe
like,
not.
Oh gosh,
3-2.
We don't lose.
Yeah. I'm sorry, follow you.
No, I'm of a mind that I'd like to see a 1-0 victory. I would like to see them reestablish their defense. I think Jim Curtin, as a defensive player, kind of coaches from the defense forward. He kind of sets it as the base layer. Like that, you can establish your defense is strong, then you can build into the attack. I think it tends to take a little more time for the attack players to gel and know who's making which runs where. You know, who can I look off and make a no look pass into a space for a teammate to run onto? I do think that those tend to happen. Now, I would definitely agree with both of you. I'd much rather just see a 4-0 victory for the Union, but I don't think we're going to reestablish both of them. Yeah. So between the two, I think I'd like to see them reestablish the defense as a brick wall. Like, right now, we're just giving up too many goals where we can't. Like, yeah, we held Pachuca scoreless, and I think there's been one other shutout, but we also gave up goals in games that ended up being ties that if we had just given up one less goal, we would have won. And it would have been nice. So I think that if the Union are going to turn it around, it'll be on the defense side first, but I certainly wouldn't complain about a 4-2 victory, but it's still, unless you see both of them happening consistently over the next few weeks, then I think we're going to run into start questioning things a bit.
Well, sure. We still have the other option out there, and that is the Union lose like 2-0 in Austin.
Yep.
And then it's just like, all right, now we're just being handed our hat in both leagues.
Well, and let's remember, it is a road game, and for whatever reason, we struggle.
It is.
Not all the time, but we struggle with road games quite often.
Yeah. So. Yeah, and Austin, while they're not doing really well so far this season, they are still Austin. They did still, you know, make really good, you know, runs in the not too distant past in the West. And you know, it's Texas. The temperatures are going to be a factor probably for some of these players who have gotten used to the cold of the Northeast there.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Actually, I'm looking at the
and they have McConaughey as the minister of MLS culture, whatever that is. I believe the temperatures down there have been pretty nice, varying between the 60s and the 80s, so, and invariably dry. Well, no, Austin's a little damper. Never mind. But still, yeah.
This
not
week
Seattle damp.
Nice. This week around here looks very nice, so hopefully, yeah. You know, that will hold.
Yeah.
And we'll have to see what the Union do and how they bounce back from this performance. I hope they find their game legs because they need mm-hmm. it.
Yeah.
I mean,
I just think it would be nice to have a strong showing also for the fans to kind of bolster the confidence, you know, a 4-2, or, you know, if that's my option as opposed to a 4-0. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it would be, yes, they gave up goals. People would notice that and note that. But I kind of feel like it might go further than a 1-0, which seems like a less convincing win. I mean, you and I understand your reasoning, and I think your reasoning is sound, but I'm just saying to the, you know, as we were talking about before we start recording, Paul, it is sort of like just, yep. you know, more casual fan. 4-2 sounds a little more dramatic and mm-hmm. solid in some ways than a 1-0.
So I just checked the schedule, and the Union are away the next 2 weekends. Good they're life. In Austin, and then they're in Portland before they return home to face Minnesota, who's been playing pretty well to start yeah. the season. So in all honesty, this could go against the Union, and if pretty significantly over the next few weeks, if they don't get things righted. Fortunately, they are going to be able to, you know, devote themselves and target and really concentrate on these mm-hmm. couple of games because they're not participating in the Open Cup.
Nope.
And so they're not going to have any distractions. So
you got one let's job.
See what they do.
You got one job.
So enough prognosticating, I think, about Austin. We'll see what happens. We certainly are hopeful, but leery, I guess, would be, you know, the best way to describe how we're all feeling after the Pachuca performance or lack mm-hmm. thereof.
Hopeful, but leery. And more Philadelphia Union. More Philly Union, I should say.
All right. So like I said, it was a quiet week this week. Not really any other Union news. Hopefully Carranza will continue to get back to match fitness. Anything else from either of you?
No, right. I think that's it.
Very
I'm sorry,
good.
Match Eric's energy. I have to match Paul's. Okay, here we go.
All right. So as always, you can find us on our website, amorephillyunion.com. Feel free to email us at pod@amorephillyunion.com. You can find us on X at AmoreFillyU. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, or Threads at AmoreFillyUnion. Please check out our Spotify playlist under AmoreFillyUnion and give it a tune in, give it a listen. You know, it's definitely still developing, and hopefully you're enjoying what we add from week to week or change from week to week. So please download our podcast wherever you get yours, Google, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, etc. And thanks, everyone, for tuning in for another episode of Amore Philly Union. We're your hosts. I'm Paul.
I'm C.
I'm Sleepy.
Go Union! Sleepy.
Yeah, I know. I should have put more of a space in it. Yeah, you know.
Good enough.